Okay, so natural resource damages, most people here, there are a few people who are old enough to remember this. And that was Exxon Valdez in 1989. And prior to Exxon Valdez, we didn't have natural resource damages codified into the law. And I am a hardcore environmental practitioner, so you will not see the pictures of baby otters. But the size of this spill was so enormous. You know, you think about, we were all around at BP. We were all watching. We were all wondering whether we were going to get conflicted out. I know that's what I spent most of my days right around the collision of the explosion. Here's interesting facts. Exxon Valdez spoiled 1,300 miles of coastline. 1,300 miles of coastline. Anybody have any idea what Exxon Valdez did? 1,300 miles of coastline. Just kind of interesting tidbit. This was all in the Alaska Sound. How about a couple of other interesting facts? The Valdez was carrying 53 million gallons. 11 million gallons of oil got out, and it was that nasty, really heavy crude stuff. In contrast, let's see, that's 261,000 barrels. In contrast, Deepwater had 4 million barrels. That's a lot of oil that came out of the ground. And one of the interesting things that we learned from Exxon Valdez, and you would think we would, the environmental lawyers and the Coast Guard and Incident Command would use this piece of information. There's a place called Mearns Rock, if you ever go up to Williams Sound. They decided when they were doing the cleanup, and they were taking seawater and blasting the coast off, trying to clean the oil off the rocks and the birds and the otters and the whales. And they got to Mearns Rock and they said, let's leave Mearns Rock alone. Let's just let the oil sit there. You want to know where the fastest recovery in Prince William Sound was? It's Mearns Rock. And they actually have a Netflix movie if you like to watch documentaries. It's called Never-Ending History of Life on a Rock. And it's the three amigos, these three marine biologists, made this movie. They go out to Mearns Rock every year at the same time, about the time of the spill, and they take pictures of it. And if you like marine biology or you like to see a little bit about how the world will repair itself if you let it, it's a really interesting story. 250,000 seabirds killed, 3,000 otters. The otter pictures are just devastating. 300 seals, 250 bald eagles, and 22 killer whales. In contrast, Deepwater, 700,000 birds, 8 billion oysters. The theory is that the oyster, Gulf Coast oysters, which I'm not going to recommend to anybody, that the oyster crop will never recover in the Gulf of Mexico because of deep water. Does anybody in this room know the Dongfeng Ocean? How about Oriental Nicety? No, not ringing any bells. When they took the Exxon Valdez out of commission, they sold it to Japan, who renamed it the Dongfeng Ocean, and then it had a collision in the Yellow Sea, and it got scrapped in 2012. These are little-known facts about the Exxon Valdez, but the Exxon Valdez gave us OPA. It gave us natural resource damages. And it's probably, one of the things we learn as lawyers is don't go read the guidance, don't go read the rules. Start with the statute. What are we talking about? Natural resource, we're talking about land, you're thinking marshes. We're talking about fish. We're talking wildlife. We're talking biota. We're talking water column, because all these critters, they live around and their environment gets contaminated. Natural resource damages. And here's the interesting thing. It's the cost of restoring the services. So while you will look up somebody's natural resource damage cost, and what are they paying for their bird, do you say? So, oh, you killed 700,000 birds, you're paying $1 billion. I can divide. It's $85 a bird. That's not what it is at all. No, they got the economist in, and they've asked the economist to develop models and theories on what are we going to do to restore the lost habitat. We're not going to create dolphins. We're not going to create turtles. But we can replace the habitat that got ruined, and that's what the natural resource damage is about. So if you go on NOAA's website, NOAA is the lead trustee in a natural resource damage case. These are the bullets that they say, this is how the natural resource damage assessment process works. First, we're going to look at the injury. We're going to use a HIA, we're going to use a RIA, those are just fancy words, and we're going to come up with a debit. What do you owe? What damage did you do? And then we're going to look around and we're going to say, well, how do we credit that? If I ruined a marsh, maybe I'll build a new marsh. If I killed a bunch of birds, maybe I'll build a rookery. If I killed dolphins, maybe I'll hand out dolphin-free nets to the fishermen. And that's the debit and the credit side. And then they match up. You scale them. Their number four objective, three objective is hold the polluters accountable. That's your clients. And then they go out and restore the environment. There's two ways that you can dismiss your liability. You can go out and build a rookery.